Well, good morning. Thank you for that introduction from Louise. Thank you, Jenny, for the reading. Several hundred years ago, Leonardo da Vinci wrote, "To develop a complete mind, study the science of art, study the art of science. Learn how to see. Realize that everything connects to everything else." Several thousand years ago, God had inferred the same thing as he laid out the rules for agriculture in the early days of the formation of Israel. We read in Leviticus, and the modern world has kind of ignored all this. So now we're going to pay the cost, I think. Or maybe it won't be us, but our children and their children will pay the cost. You see, everything is connected to everything else. We can't get away with our exploitative and profligate living standards for much longer. I've heard people say, well, we can't afford the cost of putting all this right. But actually, maybe we can't really afford not to act, not to repent. And our children and their children cannot afford us to not do anything. They really can't afford it. We've got to afford it. It will cost them everything if we do not pay up now. If we think that living through a pandemic is bad, then I fear it will be nothing in comparison to climate change. Often when I speak to people, I feel they don't really understand the magnitude of the situation. Let's look at one aspect of life, something I know quite a bit about, which contributes a lot to the problem of climate change. Where we live, our homes, our houses. You see, every house in the UK needs to be significantly upgraded between now and 2050. For an average house built in the last 40 years, that will cost about £20,000 by today's standards. If your house is older, it'll probably cost more. If your house is larger than 1,000 square feet, it'll probably cost proportionately a lot more. And it can't be done in 2050. We need to start today. On the Wirral, we need to be completing the upgrade at a rate of 85 houses per week. That's a cost of just under £1.7 million per week from now until 2050. So that sort of shows you the level of a problem. And every week that goes by without us actually achieving that, well, the weekly cost just goes up. Also, every week that goes by when the government doesn't upgrade the building regulations to a standard where that will not be necessary means that we're building more houses where the owners will have to spend maybe 15, maybe 20, 25,000 to upgrade them in the relatively near future. And let's face it, I'm just talking about houses here. There are other buildings, lots of them. There's food production too. There's products and manufacturing. There's transport. There's food. There are plastics and other dangerous waste. There's so much more that we need to deal with. It makes no sense. You know, 8 years ago, Jenny and I built our house, and some people thought that I was a bit crazy to try and achieve the standard that I designed it to. But instead of having to think of spending £30,000 on upgrading it in the next few years, actually, in the past 7 years, I think I've saved about £25,000. So actually, what I've done does make sense. However, sadly, I know that I am still a long way from living a zero carbon lifestyle. Living in a very low energy house doesn't make me zero carbon. Hey ho. So if we go back to the Leviticus scripture, we can see that God is putting in place a system of checks and balances to ensure that the people of Israel live in harmony with their agricultural lifestyle and with each other. I believe that this still holds true today. We are God's people, and we are called to be living in harmony and to be a witness to that harmonious living too. Because everything we do is a witness. because we're called to be the front runners. We're called to be the example, the salt, the light. But the church has lost its way on this until recently. We've let all sorts of other people hijack God's agenda. People think about the New Age, you know, and sort of hippie kind of culture when they talk about, you know, people being really kind of vocal about climate change. Some Christians, I've actually heard, are even concerned about entering the arena of environmentalism for fear of aligning with the apparent wackiness of other people's spirituality. We've nothing to fear. This is the Creator God's world. And as it happens, we know him. He made us, his sons and his daughters. Now he calls us to action. Now he says, come, we'll make all things new. Thankfully, the church is beginning to recognize that there's a massive role in this. And in West Kirby, we have a great group of churches where most of us are actually at least registered with Eco Church. We certainly are. And through the efforts of the lovely Eco Church Working Party, we will achieve a Silver Award at the end of this year. And actually, we'll probably achieve gold by the end of next. We're really close to gold in almost all the categories. So, you know, at least we've made a start, which is great. You know, I think we need to feel encouraged about that. So a big thank you to the team, to Liz, Mike, Dave, Laura, Karen and Jenny, and also to Steve, our gardener. For working on the vision for the church gardens. That's where we started. We planted trees, sown wildflower seeds, planted wildlife-friendly plants, put up bird boxes and feeders. So far, we funded all this with ourselves within the enthusiastic Eco Church team, but we'd love to receive some donations for the cost of the work to encourage us to keep going on the project. Just contact Jimmy if you'd like to contribute something. We're also part, as a church, through myself, with this group called Faiths for Change. As Louise found, it's actually remarkably difficult to say. It's an interfaith working party to raise awareness across the faith groups. I found this group both inspiring and simultaneously slightly frustrating. Inspiring by the lead taken by knowledgeable people in the church, and a little frustrating because of the very tiny targets some people are setting. But let's face it, a tiny target is better than no target at all. So it's great to be part of it. And even the people with tiny targets actually come up with some really good ideas. So it's good to be there. Then there's the cool places of worship. Yeah, I know it sounds really corny, but this is a world-based group of churches. I think there's six of us, along with two mosques, which are participating with Wirral Council's sustainability officer to look at partnering with Wirral Council in the enormous task of moving the whole of the Wirral reasonably quickly towards a net zero carbon future. This is a program called Cool Wirral 2. It is led by the rather inspiring Dr. Brian Lipscomb. Through my participation in this group, the URC is right at the front end of the Cool Wirral agenda. So let's not be discouraged. Let's be encouraged as a church, as God's people. It's really important that we do that. Now, a little while ago, maybe a couple of weeks, or was it just a week? I can't remember. Jenny and I joined the online service to celebrate the 5-year anniversary of the introduction of the Arusha Eco Church program. Actually, I would really encourage you to watch it on YouTube, or maybe just to listen to the talk by Bishop Nick of Salisbury, which starts about 10 and a half minutes into the YouTube video. I think Simon's going to pop that link up in the chat. In his talk, he points out that we can act out of fear or out of love. He favours a mix of these emotions, but he thinks that our love should dominate. He reminds us that the church is international, so that we, probably more than many people, should understand and care more deeply about the needs of the world, For in every corner of it, our sisters and our brothers in Christ are suffering. And for many, that is made considerably worse by the environmental crisis and climate change. He's pointed out that the pandemic has shown that what we can do, and that fear is indeed a really powerful motivator, that we put people before economics. But love is so much better. Love for neighbour, love for the world and God's creation, because this is an expression of our love and respect for the living God, the Lord of the universe. The bishop quoted the Pope, who classifies all the abuses of people and the environment as matters of social justice. And that is why Tear Fund and Christian Aid are so vociferous about the problems with the environment. You see, the thing is, we're behaving as though we're consumers of the environment and not just partners with the Creator who has individually made us responsible for sustainable living. This is time for repentance, time to turn away from our consumer focus, time to be the church. You see, we know about repentance, we understand it, and we also know the wonderful, mighty power of forgiveness. And that power is available, I believe, in the environmental tragedy. You know, we have a completely different worldview on this issue, you know, folks. It is really different. We don't recognize how different it can be. But we know in our own lives that we are not alone in resolving our own brokenness. We don't do that alone. The Lord Jesus partners with us. He steps into our lives. He empowers us by his Holy Spirit and enables us to be transformed. That's our personal experience. We each know that for ourselves. So too, in the environmental disaster, it's just the same as in everything else in our lives. As this approaches us, God is not taken by surprise. He knew this would be the outcome of our greed. And I really do believe that he will be a partner in the solution. But we need to be in partnership with him. We need to pray. We need to act. We need to change. We need to be witnesses to how this can be done. And as a church, we need to remember to declare our achievements. When we get our silver award, we need to remember to advertise the fact. Because actually, in that witness, there is a blessing and a benefit to all. You see, this is us being part of our society, part of being salt and light. It's only a part. As we partner with God in this, we find it is part of the whole work that we are called to as God's people. It's part of the complete agenda. But just as we see that God is with us here in our lives, in the Christmas story that brings Jesus in the Easter stories that show his sacrifice and his resurrection, so too he is with us. And he has been, hasn't he? He's been with us in the pandemic, and he's with us in the climate change problem. This is pure evangelical theology. This isn't an add-on. We need to see that our environmental credentials are part of our witness and part of our evangelism strategy. As the world grinds forward in gloom, we need to be announcing hope and joy in what is going to be achieved. And we need to encourage each other as a church family. We need to be joyful in the task ahead. And we'll do it so much better if we do it together. If we can encourage each other. If we can be excited about what we will achieve. In a sense, this is going to be evangelism through climate action. The next thing that I believe we should embark upon is the Church Carbon Footprint Survey. This is not just about the building, I'm sorry to say, folks. This is about the church community. It's about all of us. The idea is that we all participate, or as many as can, and then year on year, we try to move in line with the Cool World strategy of reducing our footprint by 14% year on year. This should be easy initially, I think, but it will be increasingly tricky as the years roll forward. But doing stuff together is more fun, it's much better, and it also means that it has a much bigger overall effect, which I think is really encouraging, as we see that we are actually saving vast amounts of carbon going into our atmosphere. We will be encouraged together as a church and as a society. Where will this take us? Well, I don't know. But with God's empowering of our fellowship and as a witness to those who have yet to find faith, this could be a very exciting step in the life of our church and add a tiny but significant impetus to the Cool Wirral program, which in turn adds the UK's achievements and brings us a step closer to the worldwide solution that God has in store for this monstrous environmental catastrophe. God has the solution, and we are part of that. There's a big job that needs to be done. We need to be more extreme, more thorough. That is God's way. You can see that Jesus took the most extreme and the most thorough way when he went to the cross and then rose again. We need to follow that example in every aspect of our life, both as individuals and as a church. And so we realize that we cannot do this by ourselves, but only under God's enabling power. The grace, the love, and the fear of God to turn us round and give us new life. Let's just remember, God is in charge. But that means he wants us to participate with him in being the solution. And he will draw others into faith while we embark on environmental-based evangelism. Let us pray together. This is my shortest prayer. Let us pray. Lord, for all that has been, thank you. For all that will be, let it be. Yes. Amen.